The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by some special friends of this ministry. Pastor Greg?
I wanted to say a special word of thanks to the Harvest Partners who make this ministry possible.
Next time you're online, check out Pastor Greg's personal blog at blog.greglaurie.com.
If we want to be happy, we should not be selfish. We need to be selfless. It's upside down living.
Pastor Greg Laurie says the Lord wants us to live a life that's humble and sympathetic and sacrificial toward others. That's where happiness is found.
It seems like, no, think about yourself. Make the world revolve around yourself. That leads to unhappiness and misery and depression. But when you put others first and you think about them, the fringe benefit is happiness.
This is the day.
Celebrity marriages are twice as likely to end in divorce. The reason? Research shows the stars experience more pain and suffering than the rest of us. So you have people who are wealthy, famous, attractive, powerful, everything the world says is supposed to make one happy, and they're miserable. Well, today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out why. When we look to the world's prescription for happiness, we get just the opposite. We'll instead look to God's Word.
Looking at the book of Philippians together. And as I pointed out earlier, the theme of this book is happiness. Now, if you're going to go to the culture and say, how can I be a happy person? The answer would, in so many words, be a selfish person. Focus on yourself. Love yourself. Think about yourself. Esteem yourself. It's all about self. And the Bible gives a different answer. The Bible, in effect, to loosely paraphrase, tells us if we want to be happy, we should not be selfish, but rather it tells us if we want to be happy, we need to be selfless. And that certainly bubbles up here in Philippians chapter 2. Jesus said, it is more blessed or happy to give than it is to receive. And we think, no, it's more happy to get stuff than it is to give stuff. No, the opposite is the case according to Jesus and the rest of the Bible. True fulfillment does not come by putting our needs first, but it comes by putting the needs of others first. And that's why I've called this message upside down living, because that flies in the face of conventional wisdom today. You've probably heard of Stephen King, very successful author. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he had a serious automobile accident a number of years ago. So he wrote an article about it, and the title of the article was, What You Can Pass On. And this is what he says in the article, and I'm quoting, a couple of years ago, I found out what you can't take it with you means. I found out why I was lying in a ditch at the side of a country road covered in mud and blood with the tibia of my right leg pointing out the side of my jeans like a branch of a tree taken down in a thunderstorm. I had a MasterCard and my wallet, but when you're lying in a ditch with broken glass in your hair, no one accepts MasterCard. King continues, I got a painful but extremely valuable look at life's backstage truths. We come in naked and broke. We may be dressed when we go out, but we're just as broke. Warren Buffett, he's going to go out broke. Bill Gates, going out broke. Tom Hanks, King continues to write, going out broke. Steve King, broke. Not a crying dime. All of the money you earn, all the stocks you buy, all the mutual funds you trade, all of this is mostly smoke and mirrors. It's still going to be quarter past getting late, whether you tell the time on a Timex or a Rolex. No matter how large your bank account, no matter how many credit cards you have, sooner or later things will begin to go wrong with the only things you have that you can really call your own, your body, your spirit, and your mind. So I want you to consider making your life one long gift to others, King writes. And why not? All you have is on loan anyway. All that lasts is what you pass on. Then he concludes, so I ask you to begin giving and continue as you began. I think you'll find in the end, you got far more than you ever had and did more good than you had ever dreamed, end quote. Wow, that's amazing conclusions. I don't know that Stephen King believes in Jesus Christ, but I'll say this, he has certainly landed on some important biblical principles that tell us that it's not about us. The world does not revolve around us. And if we try to make it revolve around us, we will be very unhappy people. So here's what the Apostle Paul is saying here in Philippians. He's saying, you need a new paradigm. You need a new way of thinking. And here it is. Let's read about it. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Paul writes, therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but for the interests of others. We'll stop there. All right, so let's identify some key points here from Philippians chapter 2. If you're taking notes, write this down. Never let selfishness or conceit be your motive. Again, never let selfishness or conceit be your motive. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. As the New Living Translation puts it, don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. So first I start with self. And it's interesting, before anything else is said, Paul sort of drills down on this, because the love of self is probably at the root of maybe all of my problems, but if not all, certainly most of them, because we want our own way. I mean, think of all the problems we have in our culture today. Think of immorality as an example. Why do people have sex before marriage? Selfishness. Why do they commit adultery? Again, selfishness. Why do most marriages fall apart? If I had to pick one word to sum it up, selfishness. Oh yeah, we could talk about communication breakdown and we could talk about financial disagreements. But really, if you get to the bottom line, it's selfishness. I want that person to do what I want them to do. We won't put that person first. We want to put ourselves first. Point number 2, always regard others as more important than yourself. Again, look at verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Always regard others as more important than yourself. Now, by the way, this is important because it speaks of thinking. Thinking of others is better than yourself. And the word that Paul uses here for thinking is from a verb that means more than just having an opinion. It refers to a carefully thought out conclusion based on the truth. So here's what it's saying. Don't just pretend others are more important than you. Actually believe they're more important than you, because they are more important than you. I mean, where do we get off thinking we're better than somebody else? Think about the thoughts that go through our minds, the evil thoughts, the horrible things. You know, if you want to know how to best consider someone above yourself, just take a hard look at yourself. Consider your own sins. I mean, really, knowing this about ourselves, how can we be so hard on others? Jeremiah 17:9 makes a statement, the human heart is so desperate and it's so deceitful and wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? The great evangelist D.L. Moody once said, quote, I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than any other man I know, end quote. That's true. I have more trouble with Greg Laurie than any man I know. And you probably have more trouble with yourself as well. I like the statement of Andrew Murray, a great writer, who said, and I quote, "The humble person is not one who thinks meanly of himself. He simply does not think of himself at all," end quote. That's real humility. You just honestly are thinking about others all of the time. But here's the super cool thing about that. The fringe benefit is happiness. It seems like, no, think about yourself. Make the world revolve around yourself. Only indulge yourself. That leads to unhappiness and misery and depression. But when you put others first and you think about them as above you because you realize they are above you, suddenly you find yourself a happy person as a result. Isn't that interesting? It's upside down living. The way to happiness is sadness. The way to up is down.
We all learn best by following someone else's example. So Pastor Greg gives us an example of self-sacrifice in just a moment. Stay with us.
Listeners are finding faith in Christ by hearing these studies and reading God's Word, even in the most unlikely of places. This listener contacted us last Thanksgiving.
Pastor Greg, thank you for guiding me through the Bible. Your notes in the New Believer's Bible really helped me understand what I needed to understand. I was born to a religious family and even spent a year in seminary before eventually walking away from God. I spent more than 25 years away from Him. I'm currently serving a prison sentence in the state of Minnesota. While I was in county jail, I picked up a copy of your Bible. Between your study helps and a fantastic jail ministry team, my study of the Bible brought me back to belief. This morning, Thanksgiving Day, I caught a new beginning on the local radio station, and I really enjoyed listening to your sermon. On what could be a very depressing and lonely Thanksgiving Day, I have so much to thank God for. This is the first Thanksgiving in which I can honestly look into myself and count all my blessings. I won't be defined by my past, but I will let God transform me into a new person. Thank you, and God bless.
If your life has changed through Pastor Greg's teaching, would you let us know? And when you get in touch, ask about our New Believer's Bible. Just drop Greg an email at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, Pastor Greg is giving us some practical pointers on how to live a life of happiness by following the biblical prescription, a prescription that's the opposite of what the culture tells us. That's why today's message is called Upside Down Living.
Point number three, don't limit your attention to your own personal interests. Again, don't limit your attention to your own personal interests. Look at verse 4. It says, look out not only for your own interests, but for the interests of others. Notice it says, look out not only for your own interests. You know, you do need to look out for some of your own interests. Hey, we want you to look out for your own interests. We want you to take a shower. We want you to pay your bills. We want you to be a respectable member of society. But for some people, that's so hard because they're so self-absorbed. All they want to do is think about themselves and talk about themselves. As Benjamin Disraeli once said, quote, talk to a man about himself and he'll listen for hours, end quote. So this is a tall order, admittedly. And it's not easy for me, and it's not easy for anyone. So how do we do this? Well, we need an example. And we need more than an example. We need help. Who is the greatest example of selflessness and sacrifice? Well, I am. And no, that's a joke. Okay. You know that's not true. All right. So who is the greatest example? Well, I think we know. It's Jesus Christ. Let's read about that now. Go to Philippians 2, look at verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Underline that phrase if you would. Taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So here's the example now. How am I to live a selfless life? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. By the way, this is like theology 101. Paul is describing the mystery of the incarnation. What does that mean? The incarnation is the biblical truth that God was supernaturally conceived in the womb of Mary, who was a virgin. This baby, this young man was God. He was fully God, 100% God, yet at the same time, he was fully man. He was not man becoming a God. That's impossible. He was God becoming a man. Verse 6 says, he was equal with God. That's very important. You see, there was not a moment when Jesus became God, nor was there a moment when Jesus ceased to be God. His deity was pre-human, pre-earthly, pre-Bethlehem, pre-Mary. And he sort of gave a glimpse of his deity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember that? He stood up there with Moses on one side and Elijah on the other. And remember, Peter was sleeping and he woke up and Jesus was shining as brightly as the sun. Have you ever tried to look straight at the sun? Don't do that, okay? But if you ever have, it's blinding, right? So there was Jesus. It's almost as though he was saying, this is who I am. Here's a quick glimpse. But most of the time when he walked among us, he did not shine like the sun. Otherwise, when Judas came to betray him in the Garden of Gethsemane, Judas could have just said, look for the guy that glows in the dark. He's not hard to spot. No, Jesus shrouded the glory. He veiled the glory. He was God, but as the old hymn says, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail incarnate deity. But make no mistake about it, Jesus claimed to be God. Remember the story of that crippled man who was lowered through the roof before Christ? And he said, your sins are forgiven you. And then the Pharisee said, who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus went on to say, just so you know that the Son of Man has power not only to heal, but also to forgive sins. I say to this man, get up, take your bed and walk. And he did. You see, he was God. He claimed to be God. In fact, John 5:17 says, the Pharisees sought to kill him because he said God was his father, continually making himself equal with God. You say, well, why are you bringing this up? Because some people would say Jesus never claimed to be God, but he did, you see. Now, having established the fact that he was God, he also was a man. Verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, taking himself on himself the form of a bondservant. This word, no reputation, is from the term kenosis, and it means an emptying of himself. He did not empty himself of his divine attributes, but he emptied himself of privilege, meaning he walked among us as a man. When Jesus walked this earth, he was tired like any man. Remember when he fell asleep in the lower part of the boat? He was hungry like any man, like in the temptation in the wilderness. So we read that after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he hungered. He was thirsty like any man. Remember, he was there with the woman at the well. And he said, can you give me a drink? Listen, he felt sorrow like any man. At the tomb of Lazarus, we read that Jesus wept. He also wept over the city of Jerusalem. And I bring this up because sometimes we might say, well, God doesn't know what it's like to live in this earth. He's up there in heaven, surrounded by angels. He doesn't know what it's like to be tempted and go through hardship and trials. Nothing could be further from the truth. He knows exactly what it's like, and then some. Hebrews 2:17 says it was necessary for Jesus to be in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. He could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and temptation, he's able to help us when we're tempted. Are you being tempted right now? Are you going through hardship right now? Maybe you've been abandoned by friends or even family. And you say, God doesn't know what it's like. He knows exactly what it's like. Jesus was the loneliest man who ever lived. Because when he hung there on the cross and the sin of the world was placed upon him who had never sinned in any way, shape, or form. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's never been a lonelier man when even the Father momentarily turned his face away from the Son. So you have a friend in high places. You have someone that understands what you're going through right now. But yet Jesus was a servant. In John chapter 13, there's a remarkable story about the servanthood of Jesus. The disciples come together with him and he gets down and washes their feet. Now, in our culture today, we don't really do this anymore. But back in those days, this was done. You know, with all that dust and dirt out on the streets of Jerusalem and Galilee and elsewhere, their feet would be dirty. So the role of a servant was to wash the feet of people when they came in. Again, the role of a servant, not the role of the host. They hired the servant to do that. But the disciples walk in and Jesus gets down on his hands and his knees and he washes their feet. By the way, this included Judas Iscariot. And Jesus knew Judas would betray him. If I knew Judas was going to betray me, I would not wash his feet. I would break his feet. But Jesus washed them, showing us what a servant looks like. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look, as I said earlier, this is a tall order. We can't do this on our own. We need God's help. We don't need imitation. We need impartation. And by that, I mean, we don't need to just say, well, I'll try to do it like Jesus did it, and I just hope I can do it. No, no. Lord, you need to impart to me the power to love unlovable people. You need to help me to put the needs of others above myself. I need your help. So you could pray a prayer along the lines of, Lord, I'm not happy with my selfish, me-first attitude. I want to live your way, not the world's way. I want to esteem others better than myself. I want this mind to be in me, which was also in you. Impart to me your power that I might live the way that you want me to live. Why don't we just pray about that right now? Let's all pray. Father, we can't do this on our own. We need divine help. So even at this moment, we would pray you would give us love for the unlovable, that you would help us to not be so self-absorbed, but to put the needs of others above our needs and see them as you see them. We want this mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie, with an important prayer to live the kind of life God meant for us to live, a life of generosity and self-sacrifice. As we're learning, that's the road to happiness. Today's study here on A New Beginning is part of Pastor Greg's series called Happiness. And to hear this insight again, go online to harvest.org. Look for the message called Upside Down Living. You can download an MP3 or request the CD. Again, go to harvest.org or call us at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, evangelism is really the heartbeat of this ministry. And in fact, our mission statement is knowing him and making him known.
That's right.
We've seen hundreds and thousands of people make commitments to the Lord over the years. But we don't just ask them to come forward, we help them go forward.
Yes.
And you have a brand new resource, one that we're mentioning for the first time today, that really serves that need, don't you?
Yes, I do. And it's a title you've heard before, but this is, as they say in those commercials, new and improved. Now, when they say new and improved, sometimes it just means the packaging is newer. Maybe they added one more ingredient to the soap that you're buying, but this is different. This is literally rebuilt from ground up. It's the latest edition of, are you ready for it?
drum roll, please, the New Believer's Bible. Now, I wrote this many years ago as a resource to give to someone who is new in the faith that would help them to get grounded spiritually. And Dave, it's an amazing thing to think that over 10 million copies of the New Believer's Bible have sold over the years. So we decided to go back to the drawing board and build it up from scratch. So there are elements from the original New Believer's Bible. Certainly sort of the template we had in the beginning is still there. But I wrote many, many new notes, and I re-edited the notes I'd already written. And not to make it more complex, listen, I wanted to make it even simpler, even easier to understand. Let me explain. In some ways, calling it a New Believer's Bible is misleading. And I say this for this reason. It's really for all believers. It is great for a new believer. I don't deny that. But the fact is, this is a great resource to help a person reestablish their own foundation. It's a good refreshment course if you're old or if you're young in the faith. And so it comes down to this. If you want to understand the Bible better, if you want to know what the foundations of the Christian life are, if you want to grow stronger in your faith, you need to order a copy of this. And let me underscore this. It's the New Believer's Bible. Some of our listeners may remember we offered the New Believer's New Testament a few months ago. But this now is the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation. So it's filled with notes, commentary, and it's filled with what we call tracts that go through the Bible, dealing with various topics, showing you where the passages are that explain this topic to you, along with very easy to understand commentary at iSupplied. So I hope that our listeners will get a copy of this brand new resource, the New Believer's Bible.
And if they order a copy right now, we'll actually include a second resource to help people undergird their faith. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's right, Dave. We have what is called the Start to Follow companion resource to go along with the release of the New Believer's Bible. This is basically a companion resource for growing believers to go deeper into their faith. It contains seven foundational basics that every Christian needs to know. So we're talking about the New Believer's Bible, and we're talking about the Start to Follow course that we want to send to you so you can get deeper roots as a follower of Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, we'll be glad to get both of these resources on their way to you as soon as you contact us. We're sending them to say thank you for your contribution of any size. That helps us continue to reach people as we do each day here on A New Beginning and through our nationwide Harvest Crusades. So you can make your donation while you have us on the phone at 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or even order online at harvest.org. The Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Ever found that verse puzzling? Pastor Greg has some clear insight for you next time as he continues his happiness series here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.